like the closer, right? Going to wrap up there, and it's like everything just feels, oh, calm. I'm like, come on, let's get going again, let's get going again. All right. Because we're not done, we're not done. And in fact, after service is over, how many of you know we're not done yet? That's right, we're not done yet. We got some singing left to do. So if you got still got some juice in you, you still got some air in those pipes, come on down with us. We're going to go to the care homes. We're going to meet at 1:30 at Kit Carson, and we'll start singing there. So if you feel like singing some Christmas songs, some hymn songs, come on down. It's going to be fun. I tell you right now, Aubrey's not here, which is probably good because I mention her in almost every sermon, and she'll miss out on the stuff. So don't tell her what I say. Now you can tell her. But all the kids are there. Derek felt so bad. He says, Dad, the people are going to miss me. I'm not going to be there. And I'm like, a lot of times they don't really remember, you know, that you're there. But the poor guy's so cute. He gave me a letter. And he says, I want you to read it to them. Could you? And it's an apology because he's just getting the cold his brothers have. And he just got it yesterday. So he's sniffling and sneezing. He's got it like, Dad, I have a headache. It'll pass. It'll be okay. But yeah, it was real sweet. So if you guys want to come and sub for Derek, that would be good. So, all right. The cuteness factor is hard to match. But let's go ahead and talk about what we got today. You know, it's interesting. Right now, you can see the passage. Everybody knows this is something we hear a lot around Christmas. So I don't want to disappoint. So we've got this here, and it's going to be Luke chapter 1. You have it in your sections there. If not, I take it back. You don't have it. Turn to that in your Bibles. Luke chapter 1, verses 41 to 45. Before we get there, while you're flipping, I want to talk a little bit. How many of you guys know that a lot of people are celebrating a holiday, even today right now? There you go. That's right. We're on the eighth night. There you go. Yeah. And what is that, everybody? Hanukkah. This is not a Hanukkah sermon, but it's worth mentioning that, yeah, I love the first line of the lighting prayer. It says, Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu, Melech HaOlam. And I think I added more. What? I think I added more phlegm than I needed. I don't know if I'm saying it right, but I'm doing my best. But yeah, it blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, Melech HaOlam. I love that. And it's talking about that sovereignty, that the King of the universe. But what a blessing that in Hanukkah, this is, of course, 200 plus years before the time of Christ, they're commemorating a massive victory over an, I mean, you guys watch Star Wars, right? So you guys, most people in here have watched Star Wars, I'm assuming. So you've got like these rebels look like they're just like the hillbillies of the galaxy, and they've got nothing, but they're fighting this massive empire who can make enormous space stations and stuff. It's kind of like that. And these guys that are kind of like the hillbillies of, you know, of the Israel people are fighting against the Seleucid Empire and by God's grace manage to kick them out. And then they're cleaning up the temple and they have this light in there. There's no windows. The temple wasn't made to give a whole lot of outside light. And so they're bringing this oil lamp and they've only got enough oil to burn for a day. Now, this guy that was in there was bad news. He was sacrificing pigs on the altar, doing horrible things. He turned the place of God into a place of pagan worship. And so they said, we got to get things right. We're going to clean it. It took them 8 days to clean that, and that oil that they only had for one day burned for eight. And it was a miracle they celebrated. So we call it the Festival of Lights. And how appropriate today. We can talk about one of the most beautiful things this season, looking at the light of the world who became flesh for you and me. So we're going to talk about that light of the world coming, and that light is Jesus. So in your Bibles, open up. I'm going to read from Luke 1, 41 to 45. It was funny. It's funny how Holy Spirit does things. I just told Pastor Gene a bit about what I'm doing. We get there on Wednesday night, and he's like, I'd like you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. We're going to read verses 40 through 45. I'm like, really? He said, I didn't know. But that's how God works sometimes. God is good. And he says, you know what? Maybe it's just time we all hear this. And in verse 41, it says, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, talking about Mary coming to visit her cousin Elizabeth, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she cried out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped for joy in my womb. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord. So you guys know what's coming here. The story, of course, is that Mary already had an angelic visit of her own, right? And how neat this is to see. What I want to talk to you, though, about how blessed. We say in the prayer, in that Hanukkah blessing, that blessed is the Lord God. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu. Blessed are you, Lord our God. But we recognize, of course, what a blessing He is to us, especially now. So the first thing that you have there for your blanks is, blessed are those whom God chooses. Blessed are those whom God chooses. And in verse 42, we see that in the beginning there, Elizabeth saying that, saying, blessed are you among women, talking to Mary. And this is a really cool thing. I know we've talked about it, you thought about it before, but isn't it interesting that we talk about the choice of God? That's okay. Blessed are those whom God chooses. It's interesting that God chose Mary, right? Could you ever wonder if God poked you out and says, I want to do something with you, something really, really cool, something not everybody's going to understand right now? How many of us have ever felt like that? Like, God, why is this happening right now at this time? And I'm not blaming God for all things that happen, mind you. Sometimes I'm just dumb. I do stupid stuff. I don't say, God, how come you made me do that? I said, no, God, how come you let me do that? But you know what? I know that even when He lets me, He's a good daddy. And He has plans for me in it. But He chose Mary and says, I want to do something real, real special through you. And I want to remind us how special it is for those whom God chooses. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 says, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless. I heard that scripture going around this morning before service, so that's interesting. In love, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. I think anybody who is recognizing, and while that scripture has a whole lot to it, and I don't want to get into as much as some may want us to right now, I will say this, that those of us who were chosen, those who are born again of God, how many of you know that you are blessed because He chose you? That's right. You know, it's a simple thing. If you're not chosen, you know what? That's really sad, but here's the thing. You guys all know that story about the Lord sending out, as Jesus talking in Matthew, sends it, a great Lord sent out invitations to a feast. Now let me ask you this. Did everybody come to that feast that was invited? No, not everybody did. Some did though, right? What did He do when not everybody showed up? He went to the highways and the byways. And we said, you know what? We're going to send out, you know what? Call Staples. Print up some more invitations. We're going to send it out and we're going to go to the highways and the byways. We're going to beat the bushes and we're going to find everybody we can who is going to come, who is going to respond to the call, who is going to come to this. And I love this because we have a God who sends that out. And I love Mary's heart reaction to this. And we'll talk about that a little bit later as well. But you guys know it. How did Mary respond when the angel told her, you're going to have a kid, even though you're a virgin? How did she respond? Did she respond with, nah, get out of here, man, you're crazy. How did she respond? But in faith. Now, she was curious. She's like, how is that going to happen? But not in doubt. But she says, how is that going to happen? And says, well, the Lord is going to overshadow you. Holy Spirit is going to create in you this life. And she says, okay, let it be as you've said. And she responded in faith. Now, let me ask you this. We've said it before. I know it's been talked about in here recently, knowing that we understand the culture of that time. Would Mary have been accepted having a baby out of wedlock? No. Would Mary have been accepted by her husband showing up with a baby out of wedlock? Now, again, she was engaged and promised to Joseph, but they hadn't been together as a couple yet. He was still getting ready with preparations. Could you imagine offering the ring, honey, and then I'm going to go get a place ready. The next time you see her, boom. Wow, that's a different thing. Now, we know the story. We know how good God is. We know that He sent an angel to talk to Joseph as well and to, you know, even him out. And Pastor Gene talked about that last week, about how God even chose Joseph in that. Recognizing that Joseph himself was chosen not just to be the guy around, God chose him to raise Jesus. What a blessing that is. And we see Joseph in the scripture. So we don't see that much of him. But you know what? We know he was a faithful man. We know that when the angels came to deliver that message, for example, hey, don't divorce Mary. Stick with her, for the child within her is from the Holy Spirit. And he said, okay. And then when the angel warned him, Herod's coming. Get up and get out of Dodge. Go to Egypt. Take your wife and kid with you. He said, okay. And then in scripture, we have all these in Egypt living. This angel says, Herod's dead. Come on back. And what did Joseph say? He said, no. No, I'm just kidding. He said, okay. Yeah, he's like, okay. And he comes on back. And then what do we have recorded in scripture? Not only that Joseph was a carpenter, but that Jesus was as well. Could you imagine being chosen to be a surrogate father to the Son of God and then teaching him to do your trade? We talked about it a little bit before last week. You know, we talk about Jesus being 12 years old, being in the temple, asking questions and teaching. How humbling could it have been for Joseph to say, I know, I love you, you're my son, I've adopted and accepted you. All the things that the Father has planned for you, I can't even imagine, but I want to teach you some woodworking. And I want to show you, for the little boy who could teach us all these things, Joseph was chosen to teach him something. How amazing would that have been? Any of you guys ever had to teach your kid something? Did you have a lot of patience? I don't. My poor kids. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that's not one of my virtues. I like what was prayed. Because you know what? Sometimes we're not all right, and that's okay. God is still working on me. And that's not to excuse my behavior, but I know that my Lord is faithful, and He's going to complete the work He began. And so I trust Him for that. But I think it's important to look, in getting back to all this, that we recognize how blessed we are for whom God chooses. And if He has chosen to reveal Himself as Lord and Savior to you, you have accepted Him in your heart. How blessed are you? I want to talk to you guys in a little bit about something. How many of you ladies have been pregnant before? That's a weird question, but I'm just asking. I can't raise my hand. I'm neither a lady nor been pregnant. Nobody? Oh, man. All right. This did not go over well. How did you explain that one to your kids? Yeah, how did you get here? Well, you've read the Bible. God's good. So, we know with pregnancy comes all kinds of stuff. Right? We talked about Mary. Her pregnancy with her brought potential death, punishment. It brought potential at least ostracism. I'm not going to say that one right. She was ostracized. Could have been by her community for being not married at all like that yet being pregnant. That could have been bad for Joseph and Mary. They might have been looked at differently, huh? And so there are some things with come because you know what? You ever notice those people who, like, they're on TV and they're like, I never knew I was pregnant until I went into the hospital and had a baby. That's what I'm saying. It's like, come on. Now, I mean, mind you, some people don't really show that much, you know, and you don't notice it. You know, I have, you know, my students joked around with me. Goes, Mr. Lane, when you do? And I said, ha, 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 you funny. You know, that's not so good. But sometimes that's the one question you don't want to ask a lady, right? When are you due? That's just no. You know, it's just one of those things where you kind of throw little hints. I'm like, so, got anything planned this year? 7, 6, 7, 8 months or so, something coming? You know, you try to be gentle about it, right? But there's things about being pregnant that we kind of can't hide at a certain point, right? And I love this. And in fact, I'm going to jump to the next point. Blessed are those who recognize Jesus. Now, here's the thing. This was really, really a... Oh. Yes, Lord? Sorry. I love that. Makes me think of that Noah skit. Ding. Yeah, somebody call me. Anyways, sorry, back to this. We look at that pregnancy, and now we read in the Bible that Mary had just come to Elizabeth. Because it's interesting, the angel talking to Mary says, even your cousin Elizabeth is in the sixth month of her pregnancy. And she goes over there and is hanging out with Elizabeth, right? And it says she hung out with her for like 3 months. 6 and 3 make 9, right? It sounds like she was kind of hanging out maybe during the pregnancy. Maybe she helped with the birth. We don't quite know. It's not said. But the interesting thing is now, if that was the case, if the timetable holds, and Mary just came at that point, and Elizabeth was still at about the 6 months, did she wait very long from the angel telling her that to when she showed up at Elizabeth's doorstep? Probably not. It was probably a pretty quick thing. She just got this thing. But the crazy thing is that within Elizabeth's womb, John the Baptist, already sitting there fully immersed, doing his thing, he's hanging out there. What does he do when Jesus shows up? Bah! Joy, right? Blessed are those who recognize Jesus. That little baby at 6 months knew Jesus was there. Now, he was a pretty cool thing. How many of us can say, I was filled with the Holy Spirit in the womb? I can't say that. Nope. No, we can't. But John the Baptist could. It says he was filled at a very young age with the Spirit, at least. We know that God had done this, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit at this time and recognized it as well. And her whole thing, you can tell that's not knowledge a person brings. That's knowledge of God. And she's talking to Mary and says, here, behold, you know, it says, and blessed is she who believed. How would she know that Mary believed? If, you know, all this stuff, we're like, dude, God, you're giving her the 411. You're just downloading all this info to Elizabeth. How cool is this? But you know what? On the outside, could we tell that what was in there? Maybe not yet. But I think there's something. How many of us, we can walk up to somebody who we do not know, but yet when we start to interact at a very brief level, we can understand there's something different about them. We can see that there's something about them on the inside that's different. And the outside could look all kinds of strange. You know what I mean? You get used to seeing people a certain way. You get used to looking at them. In this church, we'll have people who dress differently, right? You know, and that's okay. You'll have some people. I've been told before, man, it's like, man, you know, and not just in here, but it's like there's a thing about it. Like, you know, you just got to dress a certain way, this or that way. But when we look at the outside, sometimes we miss what's on the inside. But you start talking there, or you go somewhere else, even to another country. Anyone talk to someone else in another language, and you could tell the Jesus that was a part of them? And you say, I know that. That's like my Jesus. Jesus is in you. And something in them is special. And this is the thing. We get blessed when we recognize and see Jesus walking. You guys know after Jesus came back, of course, after he was resurrected, like on the road to Emmaus, he was walking along with Cleopas and the other disciple. And did he just come out and say, hey, check it out, I'm Jesus, remember? No, man, he hid. He played incognito. You know, dress up. He's just walking along. Oh, why are you guys so bummed out? No, he wasn't laughing, it doesn't say, but he says, why are you guys bummed out? You know, they didn't know it for a minute. But now, did he allow them to understand later? Yes, he did. Sometimes we don't always recognize the blessings, but blessed are those who recognize Jesus and recognize it when they have this. And this is what I want to get into in this, especially as time is running out. Blessed are those, point three, who bring Jesus to others. I know I'm running through it, but I want to get back to this analogy. Remember when I said it's hard to hide if you're pregnant at a certain point? You know, I know Aubrey was saying, like, at what point do I tell? It's, you know, do I start telling people? It's like, well, they're kind of noticing already. So people asking, you kind of show, right? Let me ask you this. And I know that it's not the same thing, but as that baby begins to grow in a woman, there's changes, right? I'll tell you what, I knew Aubrey was pregnant every time before she ever knew she was pregnant. I'm just saying. And there's a reason. My wife is the sweetest, most wonderful, wonderful person. But when I saw a change in her behavior to such an extent, I was questioning, who are you? This is not the woman I married. That's happened now 5 times in my life. I'm gonna need more fingers. No, it's okay. I said something is wrong. Even this last time, you know, we were out and someone even asked us, think of another kid, and we're like, no, not right now. That's crazy talk. All of a sudden, things changed the next couple of days, and I said, honey, you should probably take a test. What are you talking about? You're just a little bit different. What do you mean? It's like, oh my God. You see, right now, she's like, I'll take the test when I get back home. All right. So, and sure enough, there was a little bit different. But on the other hand, when we have Jesus inside of us, now a baby grows up and matures, but there's always a difference, right? We change. And when Jesus is in us, as we mature and he matures us, do we change? Oh, yes, we do. And that becomes a thing where it's like that 9-month pregnant, I'm going to burst. You can't but help notice when a pregnant woman is coming and she's ready. It's there. That baby is there. You can't hide that baby bump anymore. It's just, hey, I got a baby coming. Blessed are those who bring Jesus to others. Guys, it's going to sound weird, but we are all pregnant Christians. And we are the ones, I know, It's going to be a weird analogy, but if you walk away with this, we are responsible for carrying Jesus with us wherever we go. Can a mother, no matter how much you wanted to, if you were pregnant, say, I wish I could just put this baby out of here for a little bit so I could sleep on my back or my stomach once again and I could do normal things? I could wear comfortable clothes? I don't know, maybe the maternity stuff is comfortable. I've never tried. So, but don't you wish you can? But you know what? Jesus is within us. And he is going to be in there, and he's going to affect a change that others on the outside will begin not only to notice, but be blessed by it. Because as he makes me more and more like himself on the inside, I become a blessing. And I'm blessed, and everyone else around me is blessed. Because you know what? When the Lord is in you, and he has promised, and he's there, he ain't going nowhere. He is there with you, and you become a bearer of the Spirit of God. To every person you meet and every place you go, you are carrying the Lord Christ with you. It's why Paul was so serious and said to the Corinthians, you are the temple of God. Do you understand that the Lord God who made the heavens and earth is living within you? When we are born again and God places his Spirit in us, we become a dwelling place of God. The tabernacle that went through the wilderness, the temple in Jerusalem, now he dwells in people. What a blessing that is. He dwells in his people. And he says, take me. Take me. We just in discipleship class talked about how God works through the church in a couple different ways. And he says he brings them together for community. But then he scatters the church so that they can spread and share. It's praise the Lord that we can all get together. But praise the Lord that he also has us go out. There are people in this room who have gone out, and it's part of their ministry. There's people in this room who are still going out. Excuse me. We got to take Jesus with us. And we don't want to try to cover up and hide the baby bump. I want you to take him in such a way that people know that you are full of the Lord and that he is in you and that he wants others to know, because it's for your blessing and theirs that we carry the Lord with us wherever we go. Your next point is, blessed are those who respond with joy. Point four on the backside of your outline, blessed are those who respond in joy. It's the problem when I get walking. I got to go back and remember where I'm at. Blessed are those who respond with joy. Wow, I covered 5 pages. Awesome. All right. I'm going to read to you guys. I know I went out a little bit of order here, but I want to read Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 11. And this talks about the joy those shepherds had. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields, keeping the watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them. And they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. The natural spirit-led action of the revelation of Jesus is joy. Look at John. He didn't have any cultural influences. He was in the womb. He didn't know anything else. He had the Spirit of God. And what did he respond to Jesus' presence with? He was jumping and joyful. He says, something's about this that's different. And he says, I know that Spirit. That is my Lord over there. And he recognized that. Our natural response to Jesus is joy. How many of us have ever had embarrassing moments where we made some faux pas, maybe culturally, not knowing? I don't know. My uncle, he's a pastor in Citrus Heights. He went to Brazil, and he was trying to be a good missionary and be very polite. So he wanted to show that I'm going to eat all my food to be polite to these people, to show how much I like what they're feeding me. And so you know what they did? After he finished this, Nancy smiled. She'd been out there. She's like, yeah. He's sitting there and goes, oh, it's so delicious. Thank you. He goes, okay. And then they scooped a much more on his plate, and he goes, oh. And you got to know Andre, he's a skinny little guy. You know, I mean, he's tall, but he's a beanpole. And so he's like, how am I going to pack this away? So he, Lord, I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to show those people how grateful I am for that food. I'm just going to jump into this. And so he finishes that second plate. and says, thank you so much. They go, oh, you're done? So they go and scrape more on his plate. He figured out. Now, in his culture, of course, in his age, you taught to clean your plate. You don't leave something. If someone feeds you food, you eat it. Well, guess what in Brazil? Go ahead, Nancy. What's he doing wrong? Yep. Exactly. What Nancy said, for those who couldn't hear, is that in that culture, you leave a little bit on your plate to say, thank you so much. Not only am I satisfied and full, it's so much that I can't finish. You have fed me to the uttermost. I'm good. But every time he took that last bite, they just shoveled more on him. And they kept thinking, we are not doing a good job feeding this American. You know? And so we get there and we can have those misunderstandings and we can have those issues. That's kind of funny. Sometimes when we express our joy, can we be found in an uncomfortable situation? Anybody ever just, you know, went out there and yelled because they were so excited and then realized you're around other people? I had that problem. I worked in a call center for a long time. I'd have headphones on all the time. And sometimes if you're facing away from people and you're at a wall and you're just like, man, things are quiet. Things are good. And so you're just listening to your sound of your own voice and something happens. You're like, yeah, do so. All of a sudden you stop and realize I'm in a room with 200 other people. And you start to look around and everybody else is staring at you. And you're like, wow, that's a little awkward. I had to tell Derek this week. I said, you know, you go to Japan, sometimes burping after a meal is a sign of courtesy. You're not in Japan. I will say he probably learned it from somebody, and I won't mention who, but his name probably rhymes with lion. So, but, you know, sometimes we have those things, and it's okay to express joy to the Lord. How many of us, we like to express joy in our singing? How many of us want to raise our voices and praise the Lord God? How many opportunities are we going to have right now to sing songs that other people might actually know? And it's singing about Jesus. How many times today, as we bear Jesus with us, as the Spirit of God is living through us, can we sing songs of joy in a store, talk to other people? And you know what? That might be a doorway and an opening for you to take Jesus into somebody else's life right now because you have something in common with them. Because there's a good chance they might know some of those Christmas songs, too, that are true to their name. Christmas meaning a celebration of Christ. We have opportunities to take that that might not be so awkward as at other times. But, excuse me. All right. Little hand says it's time to move on. The last point on your bulletin, blessed are those who believe what the Lord says. I love that Elizabeth said that. You guys remember there's a couple stories early in Luke. And they have the angel, of course, coming to Mary and the angel coming to Zacharias. And it's like there's a bit of a difference there, right? You know, we're looking at Mary, and this is very interesting that we have these two stories of Zacharias and Mary. You guys remember who Zacharias was? What was his job? He was a what? He was a priest. That's right. Zacharias was a priest, and he was elected by Lot to go in there and make the offering, right? Burn the incense, rather, to go in there to the temple. And he ran into Gabriel, right? You know, Gabriel, he's a pretty big guy. If you're talking about angels, I mean, Gabriel means mighty warrior, mighty man of God. You know, Gaboriel. This is a pretty, you know, he probably is a pretty impressive angel. And he's talking to this guy and he's a priest, right? Now, in that culture, were men a little more highly esteemed than women? Yes, they were in that culture. Was he an older young man? He was an older man. It was revealed that it says, at this point in my life, I shouldn't be able to have kids. He was an older man. His age would have been esteemed. His gender would have been esteemed. His position as priest would have been esteemed. But yet, how did he respond to the angel's decree? He said, how can this be? I heard that out there. How can this be? My wife and I are going to conceive in our old age. It's like he did it with Abraham and Sarah. Just chill. It can happen for you too. But the angel says, because you didn't believe, you're not going to be able to say anything until this has all come to pass. But yet we have a wonderful example in Mary, who is a woman who is young, who is a future homemaker, but who is faithful. And she responded with faith. I think it's blessed, and I love that the Holy Spirit revealed that to Elizabeth, and I think he did that for a really good reason, so that we can remember when we hear from the Lord. When I'm supposed to walk forward and carry Jesus in some way that maybe makes me uncomfortable. I mean, let's be honest. That angel was asking Zacharias, just look, dude, you're going to have a kid. He didn't ask him to do something weird. He didn't say, you're going to have a kid that's going to be culturally unacceptable at this time. He just said, in your old age, you're going to have a kid. But the angel says to Mary, you might be put in a tough spot right now. You might have to walk out there for your faith and risk something. And she said, let it be as you've said. I'd encourage us today as we bear Jesus, just like Mary did, that we walk in faith and we trust God in what he calls us to do. And we bear Jesus with pride. So, in our conclusion today, I want to consider those faithful examples we have in Mary and even Elizabeth, that she was faithful to preach. It's interesting to see because before this happened, it said that there was no prophets in Israel for over 400 years. But was God not there? He was still taking care of his people. He took care of that Seleucid Empire, right? Drove them out with a handful of people, so to speak. He delivered that nation. I was talking today with May. We're talking about how Israel has been defended and blessed by God, even in war, all their sides. What back was in the 60s? Everybody coming at them. But yet they came through. How many times have we seen a nation come back into existence after almost 2,000 years of not being around? God has plans for Israel. That used to be a point of problems. People would point out saying, if your God is real, how come he talks about this future Israel that ain't there? In 1947, it was there. God brought it back. The Lord has a plan, and he's going to see it through. And we need to recognize, even when things seem tough and we don't know how he's going to do it, we can trust him that he is going to do it. I'm sure Mary and Joseph looked down at that little baby and said, how are you going to save the world? But he sure did. And that salvation that he offered is still there today. I shared again with May this morning. I love at the end of Revelation as we're reading. What are some of the last words that Jesus says? It says, the bride and the spirit, I should say, come. Come. I'm finished writing this book, but your story is not done yet. And for those of you whose stories have just begun, he says, come. Let's close our eyes and pray about that as the band comes up. Father God, I thank you. I thank you so much that you are still working in us. I pray that we be faithful as we carry your spirit to everyone around us. That we learn from the example of Mary to be faithful in responding. That we bring Jesus to other people, Father God. I pray that we be faithful to believe what you say and you call us to do. Hide the Christ within us. I pray, Lord God, that we allow your spirit to guide and direct our lives, that we might walk by him. I pray, my God, that we would be faithful to look for opportunities that you give us right now. Lord, you reminded me as I was down in Sacramento this week of places, of spots specifically where I remember that I had said I don't want to do something that you wanted me to do. I hope that I don't forget that. I hope that we do not forget, Lord God, that you are good. And thank you for giving me other chances to say yes. If we have forgotten, Lord God, when you have called us to do something, I thank you, Lord God, that you are so gracious and graceful that you allow us, by your grace alone, to come to you. Lord God, we ask you if there's anybody in this room right now who has something on their heart they need to pray about, it, that they have something. If they want to say for the first time ever, Jesus, I love you and I want to accept you. I want to receive you as Lord and Savior. I'd ask you, Lord God, to make it abundantly clear by your Holy Spirit right now. And I thank you for your work. I pray, Lord God, that you would do all this. It's for you. It's not just us. We pray this in your name, most wonderful Jesus. Amen. Would you stand up?